So this morning, last week we gave the introduction to 2 Corinthians. This week we're going into the first chapter. We're covering the first 11 verses. So please, if you have your Bibles, please turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to pray for our time together as you're turning there in your Bibles. And Lord, we are truly thankful for your word. We know that it accomplishes that which you have intended for it to accomplish in our lives. I know that each and every one of us, Lord, either has needed, need now, or will need comfort. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would help us understand that the source of all comfort is you, and that we can run to you. You are faithful. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You love us with an everlasting love. You will embrace us. You will bring us in as we turn to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn to do that more frequently. In fact, we would just... that would be our spiritually natural inclination, to turn to you and to know that we can make it and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we commit this morning into your hands, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. As I was thinking about this section, I was thinking how important, how critical it is for us to truly get a grasp on these verses, on these 11 verses. If we were to understand this and apply it to our lives, I believe that we could make it through much of what we deal with in our lives. Sometimes all that's necessary is not that the whole weight of the burden is removed from us, but a simple alleviation from perhaps the heavy feeling of grief or distress, anguish, difficult circumstances. And so I want to start out by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 7 verses, and then we'll go into our text and really understand what Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. What a letter that Paul is writing to the Corinthians, not only to those in Corinth, but in the whole of Achaia, which is speaking of Greece. You could say that today, if a letter was to be written to Refuge here in this area, it wasn't just to us in Refuge and throughout Riverside, but it would be addressed to us in all of the church throughout the United States. And for us, we have the benefit of having the Bible on our smartphones. We have the Bible in print, in large print, extra large print, and even giant print for us who need giant print. But we have it at our disposal. We have it before us. And this letter is written not only to the Corinthians, not only to the believers in Greece, but it's written to each and every one of us today. And I believe it's very applicable. I was thinking about this, how it is that each and every one of us are afflicted with some kind of grief or distress. And trust me when I say that I think about you individually. As I come to know what it is that's going on in your life, as I come to understand, and if I don't say it at times, know that I am praying for you. And the Lord has really laid it upon my heart, especially this week as I'm going through and I'm studying through these verses. that whatever it is that you're distressing in, having grief over, whatever affliction you're experiencing, this week the Lord made it just even more distinct in my own life. And I was thinking about how it is that God, in his perfect mind, doesn't just at times think about our affliction, but he always does. And how it is that it brings pain and anguish to his own heart as he understands it fully. But one day, here's the thing, is just as Stephen said, one day we look forward to that hope to where all of that will be done away with. We will know the fullness of God's glory and we will be in his presence for eternity. And that's what should give us perseverance through these different trials. If you have ever been in a moment of grief or distress, and you have someone to console you, it's because you have eased that tension, whether it be by presence. You know, just your presence sometimes brings comfort. I remember a friend of mine had told me some time ago, a fellow chaplain at the hospital, and he said, 90% of our work is accomplished by showing up. These two legs, going to where the people are and just entering into the room and saying that you're here for them, that's 90% of our work. That's 90, and he's a brother in the Lord. He loves the Lord, and so it's good to have fellowship with him. But for you and I, sometimes we are very consoling to one another with just our presence, just with us being there, not saying a word. Sometimes words get in the way, by the way. Have some discernment in that. Be wise. You don't always have to say things to fix things in your own way. Sometimes just to go and sit down next to someone is to bring them great comfort. But sometimes in that, we also experience what's called empathy. That is relating to someone, what they feel, what they're going through. Sometimes you do need to use some words, though. Words of encouragement, words to strengthen, stir up, build up, heal. The only words really that bring lasting comfort are those which are given by the Lord and through his word, the Bible, before us. We don't necessarily have to give addresses all the time. You know, well, it says in, you know, just speak. Just speak God's truth, his word, and it will accomplish what God has intended for it to accomplish. To show concern, to show compassion. Comfort comes from someone who demonstrates this. A caring and compassionate heart. In fact, D.L. Moody said this, quote, "No matter how low down you are, no matter what your disposition has been, you may be low in your thoughts, words, and actions. You may be selfish. Your heart may be overflowing with corruption and wickedness. Yet Jesus will have compassion upon you. He will speak comforting words to you, not treat you coldly or spurn you, as perhaps those of the earth would, but will speak tender words and words of love and affection and kindness. Just come once. He is a faithful friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we read, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I love that in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he can sympathize with everything that we've gone through. And yet he was without sin, and he gives us his word to help us through those times of need. Alan Redpath has titled this passage in Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, as buffeting, or blessings out of buffetings. And in fact, he's titled the whole 2 Corinthians, his commentary, with this blessings out of buffetings. You see, the fact is that when we ourselves have experienced God's comfort in times of need and understand how it comes, then we can offer it to others for their benefit, that they too can experience alleviation, an ease from the heavy feelings of grief and distress. Difficulties in life, they will come. We need to learn how to trust in God, how to run to Him first, and how to experience that comfort that really no one else can give like He can. Because personal pain is felt by all at some point. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. Comfort is something that everyone needs to know from time to time. But let me tell you that not all people know true comfort in Christ. For it is obvious when they return to their misery and personal pain. And I really, when you come to Christ, you don't understand how it is that people go back to their pain, back to their misery. They remain in that pain. They remain in that misery. And you wonder why, if you know God, if you know Christ, if you know His Word, why is it that you remain there? Just as the Apostle Paul desired for the Corinthians to know this comfort, so I desire that. The Lord above all desires this for you to come to know. This kind of comfort knows hope, knows God's strength, and helps us persevere despite the fact that sometimes we feel burdened beyond our strength. And you may be there this morning. You may feel that I am burdened beyond my strength. I am to the end of my rope. I don't know where else to turn. Well, let me tell you that the Apostle Paul knew that kind of distress. But God is able to bring you this comfort. And I pray this morning that you believe, that you receive, and that you embrace that in your life. Let's first take a look at the fact that true comfort comes from God. First of all, the Apostle Paul wasn't by himself. He was with Timothy and other brothers as he was writing this letter. And the first thing that he addresses here is the source of comfort. Verses 3 and the first part of verse 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." Matthew 5:4, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Matthew 11:28, Jesus speaking, He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Psalm 147:3, the psalmist said, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." This is the first thing that we need to come to understand. Because if we don't understand this, if we don't receive it as God's promise, if we don't believe it, then really all the rest of the teaching is in vain. It's empty. It's more of a how-to that comes in the flesh, and not understanding that all comfort, true comfort, comes from God. He is the source of all comfort. And we begin to be comforted in Christ the moment we consider Him to be greater than anything we are experiencing. And we consider God when we are in the midst of experiencing difficulties. That's not the time to doubt. That's not the time to wonder. That's the time to truly cling to God and to trust Him at His Word. Even though we may feel like He's not moving mountains, like He's not parting the waters, He's not doing all of those things that we think that He should and we want and we desire and we so long for, right? We're in the midst of, it's at that time that we need to trust in the Lord. I'm reminded of the fact that I was taught this lesson when I truly believed, going through a dive school that I went through in the Navy. And I remember it was at that time that I thought, well, the instructors, they had the capability, they had the ability, they had the knowledge of how it was to care for me if I, for some reason, stopped breathing at some time underwater, especially going through pool week. You know, it was at that time that I learned to simply trust in someone else. I remember going through times to where, and this was, it's called sharking. And that's, you're in a pool, but you're in like 10 feet of water. And the instructors, the sharks, would be snorkeling up on top. And you would be together with your buddy, swimming along. Do not let go of your buddy. And at times, when you weren't expecting it, they would come down and take your straps off, try and take away your tanks, knock your regulator out of your mouth. That's a little thing that brings you oxygen, air, and knock off your mask, try and pull off your fins, and just totally turn you upside down. That was not the time for me to doubt. That was a time for me and my partner to trust that we could get our air back, that we could put everything back together in less than a minute, or else we'd get sharked again, and just continue going about our swim. That also was not the time to doubt what it was that that instructor could do for us if we perhaps don't make it. I remember that was for me a profound teaching, to learn to trust. You see, up to that point, my life was just a series of letdowns in so many different ways. And so for me at that time, it was an important lesson of trust. Have you ever been at the point to where all you could rely on is God's promises, His word? I don't know what else to turn to. I have no one else to turn to. I feel like I'm without air. I feel like I can't see. My vision is blurred. Like I'm like down to my last breath. Let me tell you that God will never let you down. He is always there. He desires and He promises that He'll give you life and that more abundantly. Even in the midst of our trials, our afflictions, our difficult circumstances, He is there. He will never turn His back on you. The thing is that we have this tendency to focus too much on our issues. We talk about our issues. We think about our issues. Not that that's bad in and of itself, but sometimes it's too much. Too much to the point that we don't consider God in the midst of it all, much less looking to Him to alleviate again that grief or that distress. We tend to think that what we're experiencing is unique and no one understands. Have you ever been there? Oh, but you just don't understand. Let me tell you again. Okay. Right? You've been on the receiving side, but let me tell you that all of us have been on the giving side too at some point. 1 Peter 5:9 says this, "Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." I love that verse because it puts things in proper perspective. Helps us understand that, I'm not so unique. My problem is not so unique. Other people are dealing with the same kinds of issues as I am, probably all over the world, and they are. The Bible tells us so, and it's true. You're probably experiencing something that they are, and they're experiencing something that you are. And somehow, in some odd way, that brings comfort. It's like, great, they're miserable too. That brings great comfort to me. Now, in some way it does, doesn't it? It's like, all right, we're going through this together. I understand that. But instead, just a couple verses before that, in 1 Peter 5:7, the Apostle Peter writes, "Casting all your anxieties on Him." Why? Because He cares for you. because he cares for you. See, that's why we need to confess our sins to him. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He asks of us to cast all our burdens on him. He will take them gladly upon himself. He is able to do that. He is able to carry that, the weight of our burdens. But if we don't know the source of all comfort, if we miss this first point in this lesson, if you don't know the origin of true comfort and believe that God is truly the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, then you'll keep running back to other sources that won't really give you any lasting comfort. And sometimes we run to the bottle, we run to drugs, the abuse of prescription drugs as well. That's all in there. We run to people. We run to all kinds of things. So we need to know the true source of comfort. God is that source. He is the origin. He is the one to whom we can always run to, and he is faithful, he is trustworthy, and he will embrace us. Secondly, when you have experienced that comfort, share your comfort with others. As we see here in the second part of verse 4, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And we read through to verse 7. Our ability to comfort is greater as we ourselves experience comfort that comes from God. You ever notice that? It's like our faith is built up, our trust in him is built up. As we trust God in our afflictions, in those things that are difficult circumstances in our lives, we trust him, and then he brings us through. He brings us to a place of great strength in our faith, and we can, in turn, share that with other people. Your buffetings are truly a blessing to others because our hearts are tenderized in those buffetings if we turn to God and submit to his care. We grow, actually, in our compassion for other people. In fact, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, this is how important this is to the Lord. He's telling us, hey, listen, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is not specific to where if you do these things, then you're serving the Lord. We could all do it with not so right of motives. So, what this is the fact that for God, as you serve others with him in mind, as the word gives us instruction to, and we do it out of a heart of love, gratitude, being thankful for the love that the Lord showed to us, that we are blessing him and serving him and giving him praise and worshiping him in the midst of it all. You see, compassion demonstrates our faith in God and reveals that we have, too, received from him this mercy and help in time of need. James 2, 15 through 17 says this: "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I love James. I appreciate his frankness. I appreciate the fact that he is just very candid and open and very practical. And he says, hey, listen, our faith has to be expressed in how we live our lives. Don't tell someone who is in need, especially a brother or sister in Christ. They tell you, hey, there's a need here. And you say, hey, be warm and be filled. I'm going to pray for you. In other words, what you're saying is, good luck. Don't bother me. And James is saying the very same thing that Jesus said in the section of scripture that we just went over. Learn to have a heart of compassion that moves you to act on the needs of others. Even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of your own tribulation, your own affliction. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you," Jesus speaking, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, we are victors. We are a people who need to persevere, need to continue to get up and keep moving forward. And you know what? In the midst of our tribulation, others are going through different afflictions themselves, anguish, grief, being downcast. Be prepared to serve each other, even while you yourself are enduring. For the person who has endured affliction and received comfort, it is to be used to encourage others in their time of need. We've shared in Christ's sufferings, and we're also to share in Christ's comfort. If we ourselves have been comforted much in the midst of our afflictions, we need to pass that along to other people. Hey, listen, this is what the Lord did to me. And let me tell you, let me give you an instance of that. Let me tell you about this other time. And as you go through those things, it's a testimony of not how good you are, how great you are, how intelligent you are, but it's the fact that God is graceful and he will meet you in your time of need. But for the person who is in the midst of affliction and distress, know this. Number one, patiently endure suffering. Be encouraged by the fact that whatever it is that you are suffering, it is temporal. It's not eternal. It won't last forever, no matter what you're going through. It is temporary. And by the way, enduring does not mean existing in agony or laying down in hopelessness. Enduring means persevering through the affliction with your eyes, mind, and heart fixed on the God of all mercies, the God of all comfort. It's when you can stand up in the midst of it and still lift up your hand and praise God and worship him and have a heart bent toward him that you are actually enduring biblically that which you are going through. And know that you can. Oh, I know that sometimes in the midst of our trials, of our afflictions, that is the sweetest time of worship, of praising God. It's like we feel his nearness even more at that point than ever before. Secondly, no hope is in Christ, and it's found only in Christ. When others express to you an unwavering hope in Jesus Christ, let me tell you this, like when a fellow brother or sister in Christ tells you, hey, there is hope in Christ, do not dismiss it or you'll miss it. In other words, you'll miss that blessing. And you'll miss that blessing not because of, you know, anything other than because you haven't received it. You haven't like accepted it and embraced it for yourself. You haven't trusted in the Lord. When the Lord gives you a word through someone else, scripture perhaps, receive it. It's like when you run across scripture and you are corrected, you are built up, encouraged. and you dismiss it, it's like going back to what I was talking about earlier. Oh, God, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Man, it is so heavy. I am just like, you just missed it. You missed it. I hope that none of you miss it. It's at that time to where we humble ourselves. Right? I've done this before. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he Lord? He's Lord. Is he King? Is he sovereign? And we as subjects to him, what should be our posture? He is King. We are his subjects, right? Lord, I surrender to you. We need to do that more often. I'm serious. We need to do that more often. As we come across his word, whether it be through one of us or in our reading or in prayer time, we submit to you, Lord. Humbly come before you. You are sovereign. You govern my life. You just corrected me. You just strengthened me. You just stirred me up. You just, whatever it is that we need. The Apostle Paul knew this comfort of God as he was afflicted so much, had experienced distress and received comfort by God, and was telling the church in Corinth how to endure and receive the comfort of Christ. His sufferings were for their benefit. He understood this. The quicker we come to understand this, the better off we are. My sufferings are for your benefit. Can we all say it? My sufferings are for your benefit. My sufferings are for your benefit. All right. So it won't go to waste. His comfort was for their benefit too, though. So number one, true comfort comes from God. Secondly, share your comfort with others. And thirdly, distress, affliction, and sufferings help us rely on God. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul's tenacity in his faith, which drove him to act, was not from a personal ambition, but a heavenly knowledge of who God is and from a heart of love and gratitude for the salvation that he knew in Jesus Christ. We want to be tenacious in our faith. I so desire that. Well, it takes a surrender during those difficult times to see God moving, to acknowledge his hand, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness, his love, his compassion, his patience with us, all of those things. In order to, as we see that, as we acknowledge it, to know, oh man, God, you are so faithful. You're amazing. And then in response, continue to encourage others with the same word that we were ourselves encouraged with. You see, in verses 8 and 9, we read that Paul thought that there was a total absence of an exit from his situation or their situation that he was in, and thought that they were going to die. He thought that they were going to die. We despaired of life. We thought this was the end. This is it. There's no way out. And I ask you the question, have you ever despaired in this manner? Perhaps in a situation, maybe you have because of health, your life. But let me remind you, Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Jeremiah 15:21 says, I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. And in this experience of utter personal lack, it caused Paul to rely wholly on God who raises from the dead. I love that because he said, hey, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. Again, this personal acknowledgement of the faithfulness of God. I thought we were going to die, but it served a purpose. I love when people do that. You're talking about whatever it is that you're going through. You're saying, but I know that God is faithful. I know that he's going to get me through this. I need to trust more in him. I know that all things are possible with him. That's what the Apostle Paul was exemplifying here. I thought we were going to die. Yet, it caused me to rely more on him completely. In fact, I know that he is the one who brings back from the dead just by his word. And it brings us back to the first point of knowing where comfort comes from and who to go to in time of need, who can and is able to deliver each and every one of us from distress and grief. And so Paul's faith grew. I have no doubt that Paul's faith grew every time he experienced some kind of difficult circumstance and saw God bring relief. Every time. His hope grew and strengthened, knowing that God would deliver him again and again. You see, his time was not up. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had to go to Rome. He wasn't there yet. And then we have prayer. Verse 11 says, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul knew that prayer was truly effective and served to join many, bringing everyone together in the work of the believers. Hebrews 4:16, the women did it yesterday. The men will do it on October 1st. We will do it every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and throughout the week as you lift up your prayers to the Lord. We're joining together in ministry in that way. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What Paul was asking for is intercessory prayer, knowing that it is crucial in the demonstration of God's power and sovereignty. It's that as we pray, we see his hand moving, and we praise God to give him all the glory. Again, pray, see his hand moving. We give God praise and glory. That's what happens. Prayer is for giving God his due praise and to glorify him, being confident that truly God's sovereign purpose will be accomplished, whatever that may be. And as Paul's reliance in God grew, so he desired that they would see God's power and sovereignty, and they too would grow in their reliance in God. He even said it, hey, listen, this served a purpose to increase my reliance on God. I pray that you too would see his hand moving and your reliance on God would rise up and would be strengthened. Comfort. Comfort in Christ. True comfort comes from God. Secondly, share your comfort with others. Thirdly, understand that distress, affliction, and sufferings help us rely on God. C.H. Spurgeon said, quote, I would go to the deeps 100 times to cheer a downcast spirit. It is good for me to have been afflicted, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary. Close quote. That is a wonderful thing to know how to do. You will know how to do that as you yourselves know the source of comfort. Run to him first and last and everywhere in between. Stay there. And then pass that along to others. Share your testimony with other people. To know Christ is to know comfort. Start with him, cling to him, and end with him. He is truly the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. I pray that that would resonate in your hearts, that you would know where to run to and perhaps study on your own and really take to heart what God is telling us through this passage. If you're here and don't know the source of all comfort, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, know these simple things and commit them to the Lord. If you are truly seeking him, if you truly want to know, he will answer you. He will be there for you. Because first of all, what separates us from God is our sin. But God made a way for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid for those sins, past, present, and future. And the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, salvation is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. And once you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will know this comfort. You will understand this peace, which surpasses all understanding. As you run to him, he will not only be there in that time of need, but you will know him for all eternity. And you could say with the Apostle Paul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is that hope that you look to. That is why I could say, hey, these issues, these problems for today are just temporal. They're just for a moment. And what are they compared to eternity with the Lord? They can't even compare, not even come close. They come and go. So I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that this morning would be that time in which you surrender your heart to him, you cry out to him, you confess to him, and you ask him for forgiveness, and truly ask him to be your Lord. He will meet you right then and there. If you're here and you're experiencing any kind of distress, any kind of affliction, any kind of grief, if you have a weight that is just overbearing, and I tell you that the Lord says in his word, cast on me all your anxieties, all your cares. You will find rest in him alone. This morning I ask you, you know, in this time of closing and prayer, that you would commit all of those things to him. And by the way, leave them there. Please leave them there for your own sake. Leave them there and walk in his love, in the strength of his word, by his spirit, and express that hope in your life, and then pass it along to someone else. I know that he desires to do that for you this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are truly thankful for your comfort. You bring us comfort. You bring us strength. You give us peace. Lord, you take those burdens away from us as we give them to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would fix our eyes and our hearts and our minds, our strength, Lord, completely on you. Even when we do come to that place to where we feel like just everything that we can do is no longer available to us, that we know that all things are possible with you. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And you will meet us right then and there and give us comfort that no one else can provide. Be with us, Lord. We thank you for this time in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.